But yeah, I really like waffles because I think they go really well with strawberries, you know?
I've never. I think pancakes go better with strawberries.
Who thinks pancakes go better with strawberries? I'm
I just
sorry.
think they do. I like it. I
No.
like it better.
What
Like,
the heck?
waffles are like all weird with
No.
strawberries.
No, this isn't how pancakes work. Pancakes go okay with strawberries, but it's very obvious. So listen to the order,
I
okay?
just think
Blueberries go.
pancakes are better than waffles in general. Like,
Blueberries, but
everybody's
you
like,
wouldn't
oh,
have.
waffles are so good because they have a
Yeah, but
weird
you don't.
texture.
Yeah, but you don't hear
Well, you
things like.
gotta have the waffles. You gotta have the waffles with the fried apples.
What?
That
Fried
sounds wanting
fried
something healthy to chew.
apples.
Like I would hate it.
No, I feel like fried apples would only go well with the crepe.
Yeah, it just sounds waffle.
You just want a plain waffle? What the heck are you guys? Anyway, welcome to the third episode of the Fans of DC Universe Year 2 podcast. Actually, technically, it's the fourth, but we never published the third. My bad.
What?
That's a long story. We're not going into that. I'm your host, Nathan Nat Payson, and this is the only DC podcast for the fans, by the fans, and the best source for all DC Universe news and discussion on everything DCU. Joining us this week, we have the amazing team of four, the wonderful, amazing, talented writer, Aurora.
Hello.
We have the awesome Squid.
Hello.
But of course, I don't add any titles to Awesome Squid because he's only awesome. And then we have the wonderful ancient historian, legend of everything, who knows everything about old stuff because I know nothing about old stuff and I need him to balance me, Donnell.
Hey, I'm sorry, what'd you say again?
I have no one to balance me with my, like, because I know everything about, I know most, a lot of stuff about recent comics, but I know nothing about older comics. So that's why Donnell's here. Because he's amazing and he's the ancient historian. There you go. You okay with
So
that intro?
everything's good.
What?
It's all good. It's all.
Donnell, you can't just keep cutting out after every sentence. You're like, it's all good. It's all. Come on. Oh my God. Anyway. This week we were talking about the big, massive service changing news. You know, we had to talk about this. We had to do a podcast episode on this. This is so big. This is everything about the podcast. We got to figure out how we're even running this podcast. So we'll probably talk about that later today. And we're going to talk about the good and the bad of the announcement. So there's some really good stuff. There's some amazing stuff in there, but there's also some sad stuff. So I think it's important to address both ends. And then we have Harley Quinn, season three. And then we have DC Fandom and a DC Comics potential relaunch. Which is continues to get even more confusing. So we'll see where that's going. Anyway, on DC Universe, you can access Batman Curse of the White Knight 2020 Batman Day Special Number One and Batman The Adventure Continues Batman Day Special Number One and The Riddler Year of the Villain Number One, Batman 78 Young Justice Number Eight, Detective Comics Number 1011, Wonder Woman Number 78, The Flash Number 78, Batman and the Outsiders Number Five. Catwoman number 15, Collapser number 3, Gotham City Monsters number 1, Hawkman number 16, Justice League Odyssey number 13, Wonder Woman Twins, Wonder Twins. Have you ever heard of the Wonder Woman Twins, Aurora?
Such iconic characters.
Yeah, I know, right? I really want to meet these Wonder Woman Twins.
Well,
I
there
believe.
really is a story about that, but we'll talk about it another time.
Okay, if you want me to talk about that real quick now, because I'm too curious.
Believe it or not, Wonder Woman did encounter a. This was during DC Fandom last weekend, where you had the
Oh.
chat on the multiverse with Grant Morrison, Mark Waid, and others, and
Yeah.
Paul Levitz. And one other person whose brain my brain is eluding on. But anyway, oh, it was an editor for DC. But anyhow, in there, they talked about the idea of multiverse and parallel worlds and where did it all start. One of the first parallel worlds was a very early 1940s Wonder Woman story where Wonder Woman meets a parallel world version of herself.
So she has an infinite number of twins, you're saying?
Well, it's just that, well, perhaps, of course, that's the theory, but in this case, it was just one, and it really is a pretty neat story. I should probably try to see if it's actually in our library.
I'm curious now. We have the ancient Batman number 192, Elvira's House of Mystery number one and two, The Phantom Stranger number 10, The Spectre number 27, and The Spectre number 2 from 1967 number 7, and The Spectre number 2 1967 number 8. Don't ask me about those titles, but literally says The Spectre number 2 parenthesis 1967 parenthesis number 7. So I don't know what's going on there. That's confusing. And I triple checked my sources. I have no idea what's going on there. Anyway, and then just real quick, your guide for LCS stuff, and then we'll get into all the discussion. By the way, if you ever want to move this to the end, just hit me up and I'll move this to the end instead. But you have the Absolute Dark Knight hardcover. You have Action Comics number 1025, Aquaman number 63, Batgirl number 49, written really close to 50 there, Batman Beyond number 47, Batman Superman number 12, Books of Magic number 23, the Batman the Demon Trilogy hardcover, Dark Knight's Death Metal, Speed Metal number 1. You can get your Doom Patrol Weight of the World trade paperback. You can get Flash number 762. You can get Justice League Dark number 26, The Last God number 9. Donnell, you'll appreciate this. You can get the Legion of Superheroes 5 years later Omnibus Volume 1 hardcover, Looney Tunes number 256, Shazam number 15, and Suicide Squad number 9, where someone dies to Suicide Squad. So what are you guys reading this week?
Dramatic silence.
Dramatic silence.
Well, I accidentally read the first issue of Elvira's House of Mystery.
Oh, okay. Can you explain this to me?
Well, basically, they tie her in with the regular Cain and Abel of the House of Mystery crew, right? So it was just somehow she's being chased by an angry mob, you know, typical Hammer films kind of a thing. Yeah. And stumbles into the House of Mystery and meets Cain, blah, blah, and on they go from there. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's all very campy. I actually was in a plane with Elvira back in the 80s when we were going to some trip to the Bahamas. I'd won through a radio show working. And she came on in full gear. So we're on a plane. We're getting ready to fly down from Philadelphia down to. And anyway, she's there, and she had a henchman with her, dragging her luggage and hunched over like a hunchback. And they were dressed, you know, and I'm sure they went from there to some interview, but it was just funny having them on the plane. I mean, this day and age, I don't know if they would have even allowed that.
Yeah. I read too much. I need to get some water. But I've been reading Batman number 99. Year of the Villain has a very, I mean, not Year of the Villain, Joker War has a very, very, very surprising twist at the end of 99, which makes me really excited for 100. Have any of you guys read Joker War so far?
I have, just not the most recent issue.
Okay, got it. Do you guys want me to spoil the ending or not?
I'm fine with it.
Go ahead.
Okay, So basically, the Batman family finally unites after they've all been on their own separate adventures in the tie-ins and stuff. They all finally come together, and they all prepare to take out Joker. They're all each going to, like, stop one of Joker's final spots, and Batman's going to the Ace Power Plant, where when he gets into the Ace Power Plant, he finds the Joker, only the Joker is wearing a deranged version of Batman's blue costume. The one that, like, we were all talking about, is this the new Batman costume? He's wearing that one.
So.
But it's interesting because apparently it leaked like 2 days early from Bleeding Cool, who said that there was that DC directors, like some collectible company, is making a collectible of this new bird costume of the Joker, and which is really weird. Like the fact that that's how it leaked.
That's not actually that weird. Things leak through merchandise all the time.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I'd say it's one of the more common ways for something.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, I have seen that where, like, for the Wonder Woman 1984 movie, they're looking at that merchandise to figure out plot twists. And
Because when you're making figures, you want the most, like, iconic things inside of the storyline, so that might be, like, big reveals and stuff. And also, it's sometimes handled by a different company, which means there's, like, a higher chance, like, communications have happen. Things can leak. I've seen multiple video games, movies, and stuff have plot twists leaked like through merchandise. I'm trying to think of one.
By the way, not to interrupt, but I do have an update on the Wonder Woman parallel world thing.
Got it.
It was 1953. It was issue 59, and bad news, not digitized. We go from issue 50 to issue 76 on DC Universe.
Wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah.
And I forgot to tell you the name of the lady. So the actual name of the twin is Tara Taruno.
Ooh, Tara Taruno.
It ends with an A. Here, I'll post it on the chat. There you go.
Tara Taruna?
Yep.
Oh, Taruna, not O. Okay. Got it. Oh my god, it's so funny. Aurora, what have you been reading this week?
I haven't been getting much reading done this week. I've been a little under the weather, so. I know, I'm slacking.
Hey, look, it's COVID. We're all slacking.
I caught a stomach bug and I didn't want to do anything but curl up in bed.
I mean, I 100% feel that. See, the other thing, that's the only DC comic I read was the one. But I'll be honest, by the way, if you hear like background noise or whatever, I'm like slowly walking up the stairs with a glass of like water so I can go back to my room. But
So you got the whole house to yourself?
Yeah, I have a whole house to myself. It's really nice.
How is that possible in DC? My goodness.
I have an uncle who's staying in a very small one floor apartment because his wife can't go upstairs, but he doesn't want to sell his house. So I have a whole house to myself. Talk about lucky.
I see.
It's pretty nice. Yeah, I'm not going
to
lie.
Just make sure that you use all the locks. I hate to tell you, there's a nickname for DC. It isn't nice.
Oh my god. No, I'll be fine. Damn, my throat really hurts right now. Wow. But no, the big thing I read was the X of Swords Preludes. X of Swords is going to be amazing. I'm calling it right now. You guys are aware I'll be talking about it for the next like 4 months. It's like the greatest new event series ever. I'm calling it right now. I have complete faith in this project.
What if it turns out to be horrible, though?
I'd have a very hard time. There hasn't been a bad X-Men comic since House of X Powers of 10. Actually, it's not quite true. But it's pretty much true.
Weren't you complaining about one of them, like Angels or something? Or
Fallen Angels is okay. It's not bad. But
what if this ends up being okay, but you're hyping it up too much for yourself? So you get it, and it's good, but like it's not as good as you were expecting, so you're disappointed.
There is a literal crocodile named Pogger Pog. I don't think this thing can be bad.
What?
Yeah, there's a crocodile called Pogger Pog. I'll post a picture of him. He's amazing.
Now, the name of the island is Krakoa, right?
Yes.
So the name of the island is Krakoa. My understanding is Krakoa dies?
Yep.
Oh, that's terrible. Terrible. What kind of...
Oh, wait. No. Krakoa doesn't die. So the premise is...
It's probably going to.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to tell him.
We'll see. Okay. So there is a bunch of new characters who we've never met from X of Swords. But one of them... and they're like we've seen a couple of them already. But Pogger Pog is a giant crocodile on the top of the picture I sent in Watch Along. Basically, he's literally just a giant crocodile named Pogger Pog. It's very simple, but like there's already like fan clubs. But the basic premise is at the end of X-Men number 2, the island of Araco, which is Krakoa's sibling, merged with Krakoa. Like apparently Araco had been floating towards Krakoa, and then at the end of issue 2, it merges with Krakoa, doubling sort of the size of Krakoa. But Araco was famously split in two a long time ago during a war with Apocalypse. Apocalypse was in a war and involves his first horseman during, like, and that's when he had, like, his first horseman or whatever, who, like, we've never really met in the comics. And whatever happened, Araco and Krakoa were separated. And the land below it, which I forget the name of it already, but there's a giant, like, realm sort of below it. And a lot of people are stuck in there and have been stuck in there, and they've created their own sort of civilization, and there's at war. And sort of the premise is Apocalypse has decided he's going to free the people from that realm, but the X-Men don't quite know what they're getting themselves into. Basic premise. And then it's full, and like, it's called X of Swords. Actually, it's called Ten of Swords. My fault. I've been saying this wrong so bad. Shame on me. But it's called Ten of Swords because it's based off a tarot card. And what's really interesting about this is at the beginning of House of X Powers of Ten, there were multiple tarot cards. That's one of the ways that, I think.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think that's how Powers of Ten opens, is with a bunch of tarot cards. So, you know, so like, it's one of those things that Hickman's doing where he's like building off of these little threads he gave himself. And there's 10 sword bearers. And that's what we know is the X-Men of 10 sword bearers. And then it seems there are 10 sword bearers of that they're maybe going against, although we don't quite know all the details. So, this was the thing, right? I remember with House of X Powers of 10, we knew nothing about what the series was going to be. Like, we literally knew nothing. They gave us nothing. And they gave us two previews only, the entire series, and that's it. They would give us one image teasers or something, but that's the extent of it. And so we're going into the Ten of Swords with the exact same lack of knowledge. The only things we know about Ten of Swords are based off of what's already happened in the Dawn of X and what's happened in House of X Powers of Ten and the preludes to Ten of Swords. And that's all we know. And so there's a lot of mysteries about what this event even is. And I think that's kind of the perfect way to go in, is we just know nothing. And it's really great.
Well, and this brings us a lot of stuff. And again, we probably want to steer this back to DC in a little bit. But basically, Hickman's strength is his plots. So, you know, I've been slowly reading behind you, Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed his Secret War for the same reason. But at the same time, he's not super strong on drama, if you will. So, in other words, people skill stuff, you know, where you've got
each other. I don't know if I quite agree with you, though, because House of X Powers of Ten.
Well, I'm not saying he's horrible, but I'm saying with him, the reason you're not hearing the plot is that's going to be the main point, is the intriguing, thought-provoking plot. Just like the whole idea of the original six issues with Mora? That keeps dying, back, you know, and this horrible time loop thing, which is kind of horrifying. It was concept, in other words. So then you got other writers like a Bendis, that the whole thing is he's got a thread of a plot, but he's going to sit there and just have you listen to page after page of dialogue.
Although, speaking of Bendis, you know who's not writing for DC, or at least not writing Superman anymore?
So you
say,
yes. It'd be funny if Mark Waid gets it. Mark Waid will be ecstatic because his Kingdom Come was his one chance to write his version of Superman.
Yeah, he's never gotten to write a Superman story. He's like, I'm going to turn Kingdom Come into a Superman story because I'm never going to get to write one. And Kingdom Come is, of course, one of the most famous comics of all time. It's so funny.
But it's an alternate, but it's not even a parallel. In other words, there is no world.
No.
At least it's not supposed to be a Kingdom Come world. It's a potential. It's an alternate. It was actually under Elseworld when it first came out.
Yeah, no, it's Elseworld. But so who do you guys, because I've had this thought where I went back and forth on who I wanted to write Superman after Bendis. And I still can't decide if Superman's even going to have a new writer in January or not. Or if they'll hold off till March, based off, deal with whatever future state is.
They could always have a filler writer. They'll do that sometimes. Well, they'll just have a writer write a single issue.
True. For a while. It's interesting, because a new writer on Superman is huge. This is something DC's going to want to market, right? If they're ready to have a new writer, they're going to make this a number one. They're going to start over, and they're going to have a new writer take over the entire line. I'm pretty confident in that, or a new team, because after the whole Bendis era, I think they're really looking forward. It's I think everyone's wanting a new clean slate, you know. And I'm really looking forward to whoever it is. I've heard some people really want Tom Taylor. I really want Jean Luen Yang, who wrote New Superman.
Don't bring Tom Taylor, because then half the cast will be dead in three issues. Don't do that.
I mean,
I'm sure Tom Taylor can write a story where some people survive. I'm sure.
He wrote X-Men Red, right? Which people survived, but that's about it.
The The best thing you can do with Tom Taylor is give him a character that can't be killed.
Like Superman.
Or like the Wolverine stuff. Like
that. I think Tom Taylor would love to write Superman, though.
Oh, I think Tom Taylor did tweet this. Like, I appreciate all the love, but can you please not encourage me to write Superman and while shitting on like one of my friends? He kind of
because obviously that would seriously like ruin.
Like he didn't even say it was about Superman, but it was so obvious what he was talking about, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So Bendis aside, I would love to see Tom Taylor write Superman. I would love that.
Okay. Here's a question for you, Austin Squid. I'm very curious to hear this from you. Okay, which writer is better? The one for Batman. What's his name? Tom King.
Tom King.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's better, Tom King or Brian Bendis?
Tom King.
Why is this an argument? They've both written really, really good stuff, and they both have written absolutely horrible stuff. So
I mean, his run on Superman is way on Batman is way better than Bendis' run on Superman. That's not a hard
argument. But that's just taking into account the Batman run and Superman run. Which I don't know if I would agree it's better.
Tom Taylor did write a Wolverine story. He wrote All New Super Wolverine, which was the Laura Kinney.
Bendis wrote a Wolverine story too. No, it's like a two issue arc. There's a
Taylor did like a whole run. Taylor did like a whole run.
There's a two issue arc inside of Ultimate Spider-Man, and it's like the worst thing I've ever read. And it literally opens with Bendis talking to the reader, saying, "Look, someone else told me to write this story, and it sucks. I hope you're happy." And it's really bad.
I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy now.
It's really weird. It's really weird. Like, it's like, why is Bendis talking to me? It doesn't matter who like made you write the story, Bendis. You still wrote it. It's really bad. It's basically Spider-Man and Wolverine switch bodies, and so
something along those lines. Yeah.
So it's like Spider-Man stuck in a foreign country, like as Wolverine.
And I'm trying to find
Aurora. Now I want to make sure Aurora's okay. Aurora, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Want to make sure you're all right? Okay, good. Is there any particular writer, or do you have any thoughts on Tom Taylor versus Bendis? Have you read any of their stuff?
I don't really know very many people by name. I remember things by story and what was in the story.
Do you read any of the Injustice comics?
Oh yeah, I absolutely love the Injustice comics.
Those are Tom Taylor.
That's Tom Taylor. Yep. Bendis would be more like the new Wonder comics that are out, like Young Justice, you know, the newer ones of those. Which I think is fun. I'm enjoying his, bringing a lot of these characters. He actually created Jonah Hex's, whatever she is, niece or whatever, the girl that's got the guns. What's her name? Ginny Hex.
Ginny Hex.
So he's done some cool stuff. I really like what he's doing with Wonder. and the whole idea.
By the way, here's the whole Tom Taylor quote. It took me forever to find it, but here you go. "Hey, quick thing. I appreciate people saying they'd like to see me write certain characters or books, but I find it really distasteful when I read nice words about my work writing accompanied by nasty words directed at one of my colleagues in comics." This is the same day that the Superman news broke, by the way, so that's why we know it's about Superman.
That is understandable.
"The mainstream comics industry is much smaller than it looks from the outside, and I've been fortunate to meet and hang out with so many creators I respect and admire all over the world. I can't tell you how much I value the friendships I've made among these dedicated and skilled storytellers. Seeing a good friend and a personal hero or an up-and-comer being put down in a tweet we're both tagged in feels awful. Remember, there's a real person on the end of the at."
Yeah.
Jeez, you're gonna make me feel bad for saying I don't like Tom Taylor's work repeatedly.
You didn't say that.
Not Tom Taylor, Tom King's.
Batman. Oh yeah, I love Tom King's run. You can fight me, but I really dislike it.
He has written good Batman stories before, like.
Let's talk about the huge news of the night. That's right, DC Universe Infinite. What? DC Universe is becoming DC Universe Infinite. I want to say, I don't like the name. I'm not feeling it.
It's, did you see me explain where the name came from?
No, I didn't.
I actually posted. Okay, I posted it on here. So, I mean, this is my theory. Somebody in marketing was told, look, we're changing it up. We're going to be identical to Marvel Unlimited, but we don't want to use the word unlimited. Quick, come up with something. So the guy goes on that Google, makes sense. Types yeah, in, and says, synonym unlimited. And literally, I did that. Infinite comes up.
I mean, they need to rebrand. But
I would rather them be DC
Universe already has. So they're like, it's the same service, but radically changed. We need to rebrand to keep the universe part.
So, I get where they're going. I'd rather have DC Infinite.
Right.
Or something like that.
They sort of need to keep the universe, right? Because it's been universe and it's like the same service, just like changed different, like to be different.
Yeah.
It's weird. Where they already have an established name, but they also want to rebrand because they're like radically changing it. So
Roar, you're 100% okay with this, right?
In a way, it kind of sucks, but in a way, I think we've all seen it coming for a bit.
Yeah.
So let me walk you guys through all the announcements, and then we'll break this down one by one. Okay. Calling all comic book fans to explore the multiverse. DC Today announced the evolution of DC Universe into DC Universe Infinite, a premium digital comic book service set to launch on January 21st, 2021. With access to more than 24,000 comics at launch, DC Universe Infinite subscribers will also encounter digital-first comics, exclusive access to DC fan events, as well as a steady stream of recently released comics 6 months after the physical versions hit store shelves. Following its initial launch, DC Universe Infinite will begin to expand globally in summer 2021. So first thing I want to say, release date, I wish it was a little sooner. Doesn't bother me at all. You know, then they probably take them a lot of legal work to do a lot of rebranding and stuff. And they're going to want to wait until after December when all the normal content's leaving anyway. It's also important to realize 24,000 comics. We're currently in the 23,000s. So we're getting another 1,000, 2,000 comics. And based off of what's left that we don't have, a lot of them are going to be big comics. However, to be clear, it's probably not going to be more than like 1,200 comics being added. But these are going to be a lot of the missing gaps right now, right? And as well as like a bunch of the new recent stuff. Just to be clear. And then my last thought before we move on is I don't quite understand why they're marketing the digital first stuff, because I thought that was already implied. But like, I guess you can throw in whatever you want.
It sounds like the digital first stuff is going to be coming sooner than the normal issues.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But I think the last thing just to be aware of is the service is finally going global. People have been begging for the service to go global for forever. It was so for the longest time, every tweet was followed by, when are you coming to the UK? When are you coming to Germany? When are you coming to X, Y, and Z? And now I can finally say we're going to start in summer 2021, which excites me. How are you guys feeling about this so far?
I don't mind the change.
I mean,
I already knew it was coming, but
I mean, I'll be blunt for myself. I was excited that we had original content. At the same time, there was plenty of original content that, because of where I come from, was offensive. Just the fact I'm an old guy, right? Like Harley Quinn, I only watched like 2 episodes of. So I'm not mourning that part. I am mourning, like, for instance, it's going to be I'm a big watch along fan. I always hold once a month, I do a watch along. It's going to be very strange to be able to do them with bring your own device concepts due to some legal stuff, perhaps. So that's, I'm not thrilled about, because I don't plan on dropping my the Adventures from my TV show watch along on, you know, once a month.
Yeah.
So there is that. But overall, also HBO Max, right? All that's on HBO Max. It's not like it's not going to be around.
No, definitely. Continuing on, just real quick. This comes from Jim Lee. Our fans love the platform's robust library of comic books, and with the transformation, we will not disappoint. I'm excited to share that not only will DC Universe Infinite members still be able to read all the great comics they've enjoyed, but new issues are debuting on the platform quicker than before. Digital first exclusives are being created, and the members only fan events will begin as soon as possible. There has never been a better time to be a DC fan. So I want to say, like, don't expect, when we say like member events will begin as soon as possible, please, please, please don't expect them to be until summer at the earliest. Guys, COVID's going to be after forever. Don't assume anything.
The member events were usually tied to bigger events.
Right. And so they'll, and yeah, but I could see them being like, we're just going to have some smaller events. Like we're going to do like a meetup or whatever, like Applejack flies in or whatever. They rent out, like they like borrow like a spot in the bookstore.
Because it really sounded like she lost her job.
I'm pretty sure she still has her job. They're doing that a lot of
post.
Well, that we'll find out in the next. With I the would say we'll know that by the middle of October.
We know there was a huge cut with a lot of people losing their jobs.
Yes, but my understanding is she's held office hours since then. So
she announced last office hours, right?
I thought she's still continuing, but she's continuing office hours, so I don't know.
What happens? I think it's going to be fascinating. I think the people that, as Austin Squinn's indicating, the people that were told, you're going to be let go in 3 months, but you can't tell anybody, and here's something to sign, or you can leave now, right? I think it would be mid-October for those people, so I suspect Applejack will be here at least through mid-October.
Hmm.
If they're saying the community is staying, they're going to need moderators, so it would make sense for them to keep.
But they won't need as many, right? They're not going to have all the traffic from all the original programming and all that, right? And
yeah, but you're also going global at the same time, so.
Well, that's going to be interesting, too. Let's see how that all works. Well, they didn't say the community was going global. They said
that's
the
true.
Comic card. I don't think they're going to be able to handle it. Well, what would you do? It'd be crazy.
Well, that, and you'd need just as many, if not maybe slightly more moderators, if they are going global.
Right, yeah. Right. But if they don't, then they don't need enough.
But they're going global, so I have to imagine that a lot of the layoffs had to do with the entertainment side, like the marketing of like the shows and stuff, because they have a whole team
that would make sense
already. Yeah. I would have to guess a lot of the layoffs went to development of like the players and a lot of those services. Like that's where they're going to take hits.
I don't want to say a lot of the other reasons I suspect otherwise, but we don't know for sure that it would be Applejack herself. It could be others.
I'll be honest, we all have, at most, I think all of us have insider information. I think based off of what I'm seeing on the inside, I don't think Applejack's leaving at all. I think the final office hours thing, I generally think the final office hours thing was she thought she was going to go over the 10,000 limit and have to do a new post.
I think it's, she said legal. She said the word, absolutely did say the word legal, what she couldn't
she
say.
Cannot
and there's
say
nothing
for legal
illegal
reasons.
About 10,000.
Yeah. Hmm.
So there must be some NDA involved.
Unless
it was a joke and we're overthinking it.
I don't know.
You never know. She might have just said it because she was high and didn't know what she was saying.
Whoa. Really? Oh my God.
She was like, something wrong with the oxygen levels in her room.
Oh my God. Donnell, you're a trip. But continuing on with the news, right? Subscribers will have earlier access to new digital-first comics that include titles such as Aquaman Deep Dives, Batman Gotham Knights, Deceased, Hope at World's End, Harley Quinn Black, White, and Red. Which, by the way, can we talk about Harley Quinn Black, White, and Red real quick? Because this is really funny. So DC announces Harley Quinn Black, White, and Red, and then a month later, out of nowhere, Marvel announces Wolverine Black, White, and Blood.
Oh.
Which is the exact same premise. You're like, what? Anyway, Injustice Year Zero, Shazam, Lightning Strikes, Superman, Man of Tomorrow, Swamp Thing, New Roots, and Wonder Woman 84, and many more. Also debuting on DC Universe Infinite will be DC Universe Infinite Originals, including new comic content created, content centered around beloved characters. Stay tuned for updates. So, one thing, I would be shocked if they launched the DC Universe Infinite service without any new original content. That's the first thing I'm going to say. So I think it's highly likely that we'll have some original comics at launch, just because you want something to get people to go in on launch
day. I'm not expecting. I'm like, if we get something at launch, Like maybe one series or like one.
I'm like I said, they've been doing a lot of these one shot series out of these digital first series out of nowhere. And Justice Year Zero came out like
out of nowhere. It's like out of COVID.
I mean, sure, but like a lot of these series have been getting like stealth dropped, like 2 days announced, like 2 days before. That's so true. I feel like it's totally likely that DC Universe could be like 3 weeks before them being like, and this is our lineup of DC Infinite Originals at launch. And it's like
It'd be nice if it involves Milestone.
Well, oh yeah, absolutely. I'm not certain if that'll be interesting. But for example, they could be like after whatever the sequel is to Deceased Hope at World's End, that's a launch title. Right? Like you could easily cancel Batman Gotham Knights. It could be like you can buy it day one or you can read it on DC Universe, right? Think about like what Xbox Game Pass is doing. You can technically buy the game.
That would require a lot of coordination because you have to remember DC Universe is not directly connected to DC Comics. They have negotiated.
Well, except they have the exact same boss right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did they switch how it's structured?
Well, no. So the boss of DC Universe, Applejack's boss, is Jim Lee, from my understanding. Or it's like the one right above her.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure
DC Universe is like a different sub company. They're like
okay. My understanding,
DC Comics and DC Universe are like sisters. They are not like directly.
My understanding is Jim Lee's job. Remember back when Didio and Jim Lee were working together. Jim Lee's job was more focused on the business end and DC Universe, and Dan Didio's job was all the comics. Was the comics publishing end?
Nobody knows what the heck Jim Lee did.
No one knows what the heck Jim Lee did. My understanding is he was the boss of DC Universe. That was one of his big projects. So, and that's why he was the one teasing the big announcements and stuff. You know, now he's the head of DC Universe or of the DC publishing, right? Now, obviously, they hired a general manager who, thank God, is a person of color. Oh my God, it took so long. But I'm pretty sure they have the same person. The publishing for comics and DC Universe have the same boss, and so it wouldn't surprise me at all. Let me look.
I think if you go far enough up the chain, they have the same boss because they're both owned by like Warner Brothers, which is owned by AT&T.
I think Jim Lee is the boss of DC Universe.
I don't think so. Okay, I don't know how the internal company works.
Well, I'll say this. I'm real sure that there is a boss for DC Universe and for Applejack. I'm real sure it's not directly Jim Lee. He's too busy to deal with just that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
But certainly Jim Lee has stuff to say. But I'm real sure that Applejack's about to get a new boss. That's what a lot of this fun is because of the reorg, DC Universe is falling under another group now with all the consolidations and all that. And that's why in the end, nobody really knows what we just had announced. Nobody knows how this is going to evolve. And we also don't know when the original content is going to leave, which month and which week. It's going to be a fun ride.
Okay, I can confirm that Jim Lee is, in fact, the head of DC Universe.
How?
Now, there's some, like, his job, like, it's just one of his jobs, is, like, DC Universe. Like, he's kind of, like, the head go-to.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure he's not.
Yep, I'm 100%.
I'm almost definitely certain he's not.
I'm 1,000,000,000% certain. I just checked. I'm very, very certain. I just checked.
Okay.
Check what?
Where?
Oh my God. Anyway, the point is, I think it's quite likely.
What's your source?
Oh my God.
Yeah, what's your source?
There's apparently some magical source that 100% confirms. I want to know where it is so I can see with my own eyes.
I actually can't talk about my source.
Great. It would make very, very little sense based on the very little we know about how DC Universe operates for Jim Lee to actually directly be DC Universe's
boss. The source I used is one I have access to.
DC Universe doesn't fall under DC. We know that. We know they have negotiated with them over
getting this is how it works.
Vertigo titles is always so weird.
I need you to trust me because I can't share my source. Okay. I know that's super suspicious. I just can't. It's not anonymous.
You don't have a source.
Oh my God. I'll DM you my source.
Don't DM me your source. Just okay.
Oh my God. We good now?
You believe me now? This is very suspicious.
Do you believe me now? Are we good?
What?
Do you believe my source? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. See, okay, so trust me. So
look, DC look, Ventures... I know your source now, but I don't have any confirmation that your source is real. Like...
Oh my god. Oh.
Fine, okay.
So, DC Universe...
I'll take your word for it, because you're trustworthy. DC Universe is Jim
Lee. Has... Well, yeah, so Applejack on the community side. Applejack has a boss, and her boss, her boss's boss is Jim Lee. Okay, she Jim Lee. Her boss's boss is Jim Lee. Jim Lee is also the head of the entire comics publishing end. So there is a direct connection that's closer. Like, that's my understanding, is DC Universe is closer to the comic side than it is to HBO Max in terms of chain of command. If that makes sense.
It always sounded like that.
Yes. So, right. And in fact, Jim Lee.
It didn't sound like they were that directly connected to each other.
No, they're fairly connected. They're fairly directly connected. Now, that being said, like, the business of DC Universe is very different from the business of the comics. But at the end of the day, Jim Lee's the common thread between the two of them. That's why Jim Lee's been doing all the press announcements for DC Universe. That's why Jim Lee's done the interviews where he's asked about DC Universe. That's why he's the one who teases big DC Universe announcements. Because he is the head of that side of the company. Now, what this
it makes sense that now that they're going to digital comics only, of course, it would be very much involved.
Why wouldn't it? Like this, like the fact that they were like, let's do have original comics. This isn't. Don't expect it to be like the next Superman writer will be doing it exclusively on DC Universe. No, this will be your Aquaman deep dives. There might be a question series. It's like a question, like digital first story.
No, I don't think so. I think they're just going to go with like.
I think it's quite like
the Walmart books.
Yeah, who knows?
Like, but with less notable writers.
I think it'd be amazing if that's how they introduce like new writers. Is they said, "Hey, here's something."
I'll take anything. I'm second banana characters anyway.
Introduce new writers that way.
Well, maybe they're actually going to be able to do the owl.
I don't think they're going to do deep dives. I think they're going to do some pretty basic, standard, mediocre series based on...
I would love for it to be focused more on new writers. Like, make this the entry point to writing for DC Comics. Because there's a lot of amazing people who are very good at... who know these characters very well, who don't have a chance.
Oh, let's interrupt for a minute. And again, we're really over. And I feel bad for Aurora. She's just been kind of listening. But... this will have it. Maybe Oral has something saying this. The whole thing were fan fiction, and anything written by fans been, you know, no longer allowed for legal reasons. DC.
Sure.
Nathan, how have you been taking that? You haven't said anything one way or the other.
So DCW is still going on. You can actually join it still and access all the series. You can actually still join it on DC Universe. It's just hidden in the weeds. You have to go to the group section. And you have to find the section that says DCW, and then you press join. And then you get access to all the group threads. And there's a ton of group threads, and they will fill up your bar. But you'll have to send that to me.
So wait, they still allow it on there, partially?
Yes, but it's very, very hidden. And they rarely, rarely, rarely get new members now.
I mean, it's a group. I see what you mean. Because, as far as stuff that was threads that were posted, I just keep getting... stuff where it's been taken off.
You might have to DM, but you can get into the DCW if you want and read those books. It's still possible. It's just
you'll have to send me that because I was unaware. Yeah.
So it's been a lot of me. I've been really bad about keeping up with my series. I haven't published anything in the last month and a half. This is my bad. I've been very busy. If you don't know, I moved across the country. So DCW is still going on. But my point is that there's a lot of people who feel very passionate about the characters who would love to take a shot. And I would, and especially in a build this world however you want, tell whatever story you want to tell, digital universe, infinite, sort of whatever. Like, I think this could be a huge opportunity. Now, I think it'd be even cooler. This is never going to happen. This is just my having a wet dream. But, I think it'd be even cooler if it was like a shared universe, just the DC Universe Infinite comics. Like I said, never gonna happen.
Yeah, no, never gonna happen.
But that would be really, really cool. And I really hope that this is an opportunity for them to introduce new writers. Just give them a small short series. This isn't something you'll make a living off of, but it could be like some small supplement. Like there are people who would write for like $5,000 who would write a whole story series. Like, you know, like this is just you're very passionate. Like make it like the people who are super passionate, who you have faith in, and give them a shot at writing a comic. You could even do like a series as a pitch here. What if you had like a DC, you remember DC Unscripted? Which I have no idea what's happening with that. But you remember DC?
Yeah.
What if you did DCU?
What is happening with that now that we have the news?
I don't know. It could be shifted to HBO Max and called HBO Max. I don't know. They could still call it DCU Unscripted, you know, and just be like, because it's, I don't know.
If Bizarro TV ever happens, which is very questionable,
I don't know.
It can definitely go over to HBO Max, but something that's so...
I'll be honest, I don't
community
think
community-driven like DCU, when is that gonna, like...
Awesome Squid, do you think Bizarro TV was even real in the first place?
Yes.
You think it was?
I don't think they...
We never saw any concept art. What? I don't think we ever saw any concept art. I don't think we ever saw anything from that movie or that show.
I think it was announced as in, like, oh, don't worry, we have something coming. But I think they probably had some... I don't think they had even finished scripting it at all. I think they had an idea for a show, maybe like a couple premises for episodes, but I don't think any of it was like.
It wouldn't surprise me
at all. We know it's still coming. We don't know that it's not still coming.
It's not coming to DC Universe anytime.
Well, it's never going to come to DC Universe, but what if it comes to
HBO
Max?
Bizarro TV, everyone.
But HBO Max already has their own DC anthology, Strange Adventures.
The one we were talking about, what's going on with the digital first things, there's one thing I wanted to point out. Wonder Woman 84 is in the marketing. That comic does not come out till November. Wonder Woman 84, which has been the marketing. If Awesome Squid is right and there is a 3-month gap, and it's like 3 months earlier, that would make perfect sense for why you would include it in the marketing.
I didn't say it was 3 months. I said it was going to be earlier than 6 months.
It's earlier.
That was the one who said 3 months.
That's the only thing that would make sense for it being in the marketing. Is Wonder Woman 84 is going to be out in like November. The launch date is January. Maybe Awesome Squid's on the
side. Or maybe they're just saying, oh, don't worry, like
it will be coming
down. Stuff will be on DC Universe eventually.
Yeah, but
don't worry, we'll have like upcoming stuff too.
By the way, my favorite part about the big DC Universe Infinite graphic is if you look carefully, it's like the same like 7 comics just repeated in the loop over and over again. Like they really didn't take their time to figure it out. It's really funny.
DC does that frequently.
I know, it's so funny. They're like, we have 8 comics, and then you pause and it's like all like the same like 4 comics. And you're like, what? I don't think it's Infinite comics.
Kind of good if, you know, with this whole thing, if we started, you know, getting, you know, more variety, maybe if things are only going to be digital, that'll up the chances that, you know, we're going to get more obscure type series too, instead of just, you know, Batman, like dozens and dozens of Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman comics and Justice League, you know, where it's maybe we'll get a lot more obscure series, you know, characters that haven't been explored or haven't been done to death, you know?
I'd like that, but I think we're going to stick with the big characters. I think we're going to get like an original Batman series, Superman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Green Lantern, Aquaman.
Maybe a Young Justice follow-up.
We'll see. I mean, I've seen them do both with the Walmart. Remember the Walmart comics?
I won't be happy until I get a new JSA series, sorry.
Awesome Squid, I have a pitch for you. What if they're all Bendis comics? Bendis is writing every single
That's what he's doing now.
Well, you see, Bendis can actually write good stuff. So,
like, that's why he canceled Superman, was because he got to write the entire original slate of whatever the heck he wanted. He was like, you can write whatever you want, but they're all going to be DC Universe.
I actually listened to an interview he did for a podcast, and it's weird because it's like he has like
the news or before
most
the news.
Perfect mindset going into writing Superman, but like the actual like
I know, is like, right? I'm like, what the heck? These are like, it's like they're two different people speaking. So continuing on with the announcement, for DC Universe, fan favorite community area will still be free to all registered and premium subscribers with a full calendar of events planned for 2021. That's weird. Full calendar of events. I'm a little confused by that.
Oh, but did you notice not just anybody can go on? up right now, I think anybody.
Yep. No, anybody can go on.
They're the same.
You just told us
it's paid only.
All will be free to all registered and premium subscribers. I'm assuming you can create a free account, which is a register, and then premium would be actually my assumption. I think it's been a huge deal for Applejack that she keeps it, that the service is that part of the community is open to everyone.
Yeah.
Especially because you want to be able to have a strong group of people coming in and out, right? With premium subscribers of the full calendar of events planned for 2021, current DC subscribers will not need to create a new account as their DC Universe login will be transferred to DC Universe Infinite. For DC Universe subscribers who want to ongoing access to DC Premium Originals, the special DC Universe monthly member offer to HBO Max has been extended. In celebration of Batman Day and the announcement of DC Universe Infinite, the special offer for eligible monthly users to upgrade their service to include HBO Max for an additional $4.99 a month for a limited time is now available through October 30th, 2020. My understanding is you can sign up for 6 months of HBO Max for only $4.99 a month if you have DC Universe, and that's the deal. So if you don't have HBO Max and you think it's a great deal, take it up. HBO Max has a lot of great content right now. I'm watching a little bit of Lovecraft Country, Doom Patrol. You have all the DC originals. You have a lot of really cool stuff coming up on there. And DC Universe.
I was watching Watchmen this morning. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Watchmen's amazing too. And DC Universe originals like Young Justice, seasons 1 through 4, season 4 being now called Phantoms, which I'm very confused by that title. It tells me nothing, which is weird. Titans season 1 through 3, Doom Patrol season 1 to 3. Stargirl season 1, as well as probably season 2. And HBO Max has, HBO Max has ordered a third season of Warner Brothers Animation's critically acclaimed DC Universe adult animated series, Harley Quinn. That's right. Harley Quinn's been renewed for season 3. Yay! Yay!
Donnell, I thought I would hate this show, but I love it.
I love it. And we actually have some news on that. We're going to talk about that in a second. What are they exploring and more? But of course, it's starring Hayley Cuoco. And it will continue to be executive produced by the same people. It will be an HBO Max original going forward, and all three seasons of the show will be available. Last bit of news. DC Universe Infinite will be available online at DCUniverseInfinite.com. That's right, they're changing the website name. They are changing the website name. It will be available to iOS and Android users and PC, for the record.
Why isn't that weird that they're changing the website name if they're rebranding?
It's a little rebranding.
I mean, what are they going to do if, like, people want to go to DC Universe Infinite because they heard about this new service, and they look up DC Universe Infinite and don't have a website for it? They'd be very confused.
No, if you look up DC Universe Infinite on, like, Google, you'll still find it. It's only if you type in DCUniverseInfinite.com. And you take a random test, and that's the name of the website.
I'm sure it's way more advantageous to have a website name that actually, like, matches with your service.
It's weird.
Like, let's say, like, 10 years down the line, are they still going to have the DC Universe interaction?
DC Universe.com better redirect to DC Universe Infinite.com, or I will go crazy.
I think it will.
I will go crazy.
It will help limit the confusion.
I already own
the address. I'm sure it will be correct.
On February 1st, 2021, to be clear, I'm pretty sure all they're doing, unless we hear otherwise, is they are just removing the movie section, and they're going to do a color touch-up or something, very basic. I'm pretty sure that's all they're doing, to be clear. This isn't going to be fancy, I don't think.
Do we have any news on whether they're going to bring the reward system back for DC Universe Infinite?
We have not heard about that. However, on February 1st, 2021, every DC Universe Infinite subscriber, existing members, or those joining during the pre-order offer window will receive a special thank you voucher redeemable at the DC shop, subject to terms and services. Annual subscribers will receive a $25 voucher, while monthly subscribers will receive a $10 voucher. So if you pre-order, you get $25 to spend on the DC comic or the DC store, however you want. So that's everything. To be clear, the price hasn't changed. The content is leaving and content is coming in. That's the first thing to be aware of. I think that's the first big negative to talk about, right? Is that this?
I don't mind the price not dropping. Mostly because I barely use the TV and movie section.
Right, but I think the big thing is now it's more, now the year membership is more expensive than Marvel Unlimited.
Well, it is less expensive than Marvel Unlimited, right?
Now I think the month subscription is less than Marvel Unlimited. So it's weird. Like, they have a weird interchange there. But I am...
No, because what do you... You can't...
Marvel Unlimited one-year subscription. Pulling it up. I know my stuff.
I'm paying like I know I'm paying $69 a year for Marvel Unlimited. I'm paying $75 for this.
Marvel Unlimited.
I'm wrong, I guess.
I'm trying to find it just to make sure.
I'm wrong. You know, I shouldn't talk because every time I talk, I'm wrong.
Ding, 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 ding.
Except whenever I talk about Tom King's Batman run. I know my stuff about that. I know that stuff is
bad.
Ouch. That's false and that's a lie. You should take that back.
Tom King's Batman run is one of the worst runs of Batman I've ever read. It's not
so
the
anyway,
worst
Anyway, I can't find
much worse Batman stories, but it
I
is
can't find
the
it,
worst
one. I can't find the answer, but I have secret sources who told me I'm right.
Oh yeah, you but DM that to me too.
Well, no, I gotta tell you, I'm looking at it right now. It says on Google, if you type in how much does Marvel Unlimited cost, it's $9.99 a month or $69 annually, which is what I pay. Is the $69. And then so it is $6 more.
It's
$5 more.
By the way, Awesome Squid, did you appreciate my source?
I was just looking on Let's see, what is your source? Oh my gosh. I didn't even know you could talk to them. You have access to them?
Oh yeah, no, I have access directly to the CEO of AT&T. Yeah.
In fact, it's the uncle's house he's living in.
Why don't you tell everyone who my source was? For the second. The first one. The one I just...
They're currently... I don't know if I legally I'm even allowed to say this source, but I will tell you this. Nathan is currently living with them.
Oh, yeah. And for the record, he's making a joke. I texted him myself as the source. For the second one, not the first one. The first one was a legit source. Let's be clear on that.
It would be a legit source if I had
proof. Everybody knows he has a hotline to Applejack. It's fine.
I do have a hotline now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not gonna confirm and deny if that's the source, but I do have a hotline. Although I haven't used that hotline in a long time. Like a really long
time. By the way, I'm gonna have to run in just a little bit because it's been
So we're gonna let's wrap up. Let's wrap up in a second. Next announcement. Actually, what last thoughts? I gotta grab my computer charger real quick. So what are your last thoughts?
Well, my last thought on the cost is the fact we have community makes it better than Marvel Unlimited. So I don't mind paying $6 extra if I keep having my fun little clubs, you know, and Aurora can keep having yours, right? And Awesome Squid can once a year come in and do his book club. You know, it's all good.
It's called One Shots for a Reason.
It shows up like a comet once a year. We miss that Awesome Squid. We miss it, but whenever you want to do it, just let us know.
I'm actually planning on coming back next month.
Make it one day. It'll be one day. You'll have to find it. No, it's that day. And then I'll be gone for the year.
We have to feel bad for Awesome Squid. He's like Bruce Wayne. Awesome. He's an independently wealthy playboy. He's got all this money. Yeah. And much like Nathan, of course. And then, you know, he just can't find time for this stuff. He's too busy parking all his cars in his big garage.
I'm too busy being Squid Man.
Ding, 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 ding. Last announcement to talk about today is Harley Quinn Season 3. I want to go into a little more details on what the Harley Quinn Season 3 is about, and then we'll be done. After the announcement, this comes from CBR. After the announcement of Harley Quinn Season 3, the producer, the showrunner, Justin Halpern, and Patrick Schumacher discussed the future of the show. That's the big thing for us to chew on, he said. The thing we have discussed, preliminary, is the idea that these two characters, referring to Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, have a toxic relationship in their past. though Ivy and Kite Man wasn't toxic, it also wasn't an equal relationship. You know, he loved her a lot more than she loved him. Halpern went on, by the way, I've met Poison Ivy and Kite Man, not Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy. Halpern went on to talk about how it affects Harley and Ivy. So this is the first time they're both going to be in a relationship where they're really and truly having affection towards one another. That's a lot of responsibility. So I think, like, what is it like to be in a good relationship after you've been in a bad relationship with abusive people is a big theme I want to play on. Last week, Halpern said that if the show receives a third season, he probably knew there was a third season, but didn't have the ability to announce it because they wanted to lighten the blow of the DC Universe Infinite. Says the showrunners want to focus on Harley and Ivy's relationship, saying that he was less interested in the Joker if the Joker got a new girlfriend or not, that I am deepening the relationship these two have spent years building. So basically saying it's more Harley Ivy, and it's about like trying to recover from rough relationships. That's everything. If you guys have any final thoughts, or we can close out the show.
Could you clarify something for me, since I only watched one or two of Harley Quinn? In the series, are she and Poison Ivy cold-blooded murderers like they are in the comics?
Yes.
Yes.
They're not cold-blooded, but they do kill people.
I don't know. Like, remember the scene with the toxic waste and the people, like...
Yes,
but all the people who were working for the polluting company.
Ivy's
and
eco-terrorism. That's how Ivy's eco-terrorism. That's a different thing.
I know, but that's still cold-blooded killing.
Okay, sure.
And like, but it's like even framed like as humorous because they're just like having one of those like sunset like chat moments like on a dock, like you know that like sort of stereotypical thing that happens inside movies and TV shows and stuff. And they're just casually doing something else while talking, and that casually doing something else is pouring toxic waste into people's mouths. So.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
They're cold-blooded killers.
Yeah.
But then again, there is that whole plot where, like, that whole family reunion gets slaughtered, and Harley Quinn is not okay with that because she doesn't want to be that kind of villain or something.
No, absolutely.
Because she's supposedly a good person. It's weird. It's weird. I like the show, though.
Yeah, on that note, let's do the show report. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na, show report! And guess what? There is nothing. Welcome to the COVID era. Dun-dun-dun!
Yeah, this is it. I told you, this podcast is gold for DC Universe.
Gold, pure gold. And that's all for this week. We're on Podbean, Google Play, SoundCloud, and YouTube. So subscribe on those purposes. And we are not on Apple Podcasts because I'd rather have a direct access to Applejack than a...
Actually, it's because fried apples are not good on waffles.
Oh, yeah. Who puts fried apples in waffles? Aurora?
I think it sounds great. Aurora, it sounds great. Next time you're there,
really,
we'll have
to try it. It's really, really good. I mean, fried apples...
It does sound like it would be good if you like baked fruit. I hate baked fruit. Like, I can't eat fruit pies or anything like that.
You guys
anything tastes good on waffles with lots of syrup.
Very, very crazy.